The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed to you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So, with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people, the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I know many of you like to read books. I like to read too, and I read a smattering of a number of different things. Sometimes it may be history. Sometimes it may be a theology book or something about what's going on in the world, political book or something. But so every once in a while, I do like nonfiction. I'll pick up whatever's out there sometimes, and then every once in a while, it will be a mystery novel, a whodunit kind of novel, and it's always interesting to read through those, because if it's well written, you go down one chapter and it looks like it's pointing to this one, whodunit, or you go down the next chapter and it looks like it's going this way. You get chasing down different rabbit trails, trying to figure out who actually committed the crime, and then at the end, there's always a surprise. And as you think about it, as you read that last chapter, oh yeah, all those clues did point to this person as the culprit. Now, I've known some people who pick up books like that, and what they'll do is they'll go to the last chapter and read that first. It kind of drives me nuts, but at the same time then, they say, well, you know, I don't get chasing off on all these other side trails. You know, I know exactly what's going to happen, so I can stay focused on the story of what is going on and pick up on those clues. Our readings for today are kind of like the person who goes to the end of the story and reads the end. Because in each of these lessons, the prophets that are speaking know the end already. God has given them the message and they're bringing the message to the people. They know the end. In our first lesson today from Zephaniah, Zephaniah says, "Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst, and you shall fear disaster no more." It looks like that was a happy time. Looks like everything was going well, that, you know, that this is the end. Well, and that's what Zephaniah is saying. It is the end. This is what's going to happen. But actually, in reality, of what was happening when Zephaniah was prophesying all this was not so good. The Assyrians were the big dogs on the block back then. They were the powerhouse. They were the conquerors of much of the surrounding area. The northern kingdom of Israel had already fallen, and Judah would be next. The king of Judah at this point was ruling only by permission of the king of Assyria. And things were precarious, and things were not going well in Judah. Many people were worshiping false gods. There was child sacrifice. There was worship of astral deities. There was witchcraft being practiced. In the marketplaces, there were a lot of scams and scandals and cheating each other. And the remnant, those who were still faithful to God, were treated very unjustly. And so things were not looking good at all. And here comes along Zephaniah, and he tells the people the end. He's telling them, have hope, rejoice, because as you live your life today with all these things going on, with all these threats, with all this injustice, with all this stuff going on, God will still be victorious. You know the end. In our second lesson for today, St. Paul's writing to the Philippians, and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And then verse 7, it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The early church, too, in many places at different times were under persecution. Paul himself underwent quite a bit of persecution. A lot of times when Paul came into a town, he would go into the marketplace. Maybe he would set up his own booth because he was a tent maker. And then he would start to talk to people about Jesus. And a lot of times then he would actually get up and he would make speeches about who Jesus is and what he's all about. And in the pagan areas or in the Jewish areas, wherever he happened to be speaking, a lot of times, people were antagonistic against him. This was something strange. This was something different. This was something foreign. Paul was not accepted. A number of times he was arrested. He was thrown into prison. He was beaten and tortured or chained up in shackles. Paul did not have it easy. A lot of times he was hurt. He was injured. He had to be healed up. Had to take time off just to heal from all the beatings that he had taken. And here he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Paul knows the ending. He knows what's going to happen. He knows the story of Jesus, that he himself, Paul, as Saul, was a persecutor of the Christians until he met Jesus. And he knows full well in his heart what Jesus is capable of that mercy, that salvation, that grace that God imparts. Paul knows the end of the story, that Christ will come again, and all these persecutions, all these troubles that the Christians are going through, and that he himself is going through, will come to an end, and there will be victory. And then in our gospel lesson today, John the Baptist, always loved John the Baptist. He seems like such a character. He preaches with such authority. And he doesn't mince any words here. He starts out, you brood of vipers. Calls him a bunch of snakes. But John knows the ending as well then too. He wants to get the people motivated to let them know that the Messiah is coming. This Messiah that had been waited for so long, for generations, even past Zephaniah when he was prophesying that the Savior would come. And John knows that the Savior is here. He is coming. John knows the end, that he will come and redeem his people. And so he wants to get the people ready. He wants to get them prepared for this coming Savior. And Paul has a way of speaking, or John the Baptist has a way of speaking that really convinces people. And John doesn't leave us hanging. How are we supposed to get prepared? What are we supposed to do? The people were asking. And when the people asked, John said, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. In other words, treat each other as you want to be treated. Do what God had commanded in the first place through the Ten Commandments of treating one another with respect. Give, look for the needs of other people and help fulfill those needs of what do they need in this life? What do they need to live? What kind of help does someone else need? Share that love. Share that love of God, that God has blessed you with what He has given you. Share that with others who don't have, who need, who are legitimately in need. And like I said, John had a way of speaking. He knew the end. He was convinced of what is going to happen, that Messiah is going to come, that even the tax collectors. Now, the tax collectors are a breed of their own. The tax collectors were hated by the Jews because they were Jews, and they were looked at, upon as being traitors because they collected money for the conquerors, for Roman. And then the Romans just kind of treated them with disdain, that they're doing an ugly job, and as long as they do their job, we'll leave them alone. And then, so the tax collectors a lot of times would collect extra money for themselves, and many of them became very rich. So John was able to even cut to the hearts of the tax collectors. And they were saying, what should we do? And John just says, just simply do your job. Do what you're supposed to be doing. Collect no more than what you are assigned to collect. And again, I can imagine that, you know, John's causing a commotion out here in the wilderness. People want to check out what's going on. And again, John's not in the cities trying to drum up business. He is out there in the middle of the wilderness. People are coming out to him to hear his message, to hear, because they want to have the hope. They want to have that hope that the Messiah is coming. They want to know what John has to say. And so I can imagine the religious leaders or even the Roman authorities sent soldiers out there to check him out, make sure that this is not a revolutionary guy, that there is no insurrection starting up. But they also heard his message as well. And even the soldiers are asking, so what should we do? And basically, once again, John says, do your job. Do your job. Don't extort money from other people. Don't accuse them falsely. Just do your job. Do what you're supposed to do. Follow the Lord. John's telling all people to repent, to change your ways, to turn around. Be made clean in baptism. Be made new. Make yourself ready, for the King is coming. John knew the ending, that God was coming. We know the ending as well, too. We've heard the stories. I'm sure a lot of you could probably recite or at least tell the story, the birth story, of that coming Messiah, about traveling to Bethlehem, finding no place to stay except the stable, of the angels out in the fields with the shepherds and the wise men coming later. We can tell that story. We know that story. We know the ending of that story of the Messiah coming. But we also know the other story, the story that Christ is coming again, that He will come again. And so we hear that same news from Zephaniah of rejoice, be glad, or of Paul of rejoice. Again, I say rejoice, and that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will be in your hearts and your minds. Are these words of John of repent? Be ready, be prepared, make yourselves clean, for Christ is coming, and Christ is coming indeed. Even though we live in the midst of troubled times, you know, we suffer on our own from disease, from hurt, from pain, from other people, what they've done to us. We hurt because of what we have done. We feel that shame within ourselves. We hurt. We know this world is not perfect, and there is a lot of suffering, there is a lot of stress, there is a lot of pain. But we know the ending. We know that Christ is coming. And all this stuff in this world is simply temporary. We're just passing through. That in the end, Christ will be victorious. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.